Welcome to the Beyond the Sermon podcast, where we take your questions from Sunday's teachings in order to form a dialogue about the scriptures and what God is teaching each and every one of us.
Well, welcome back to the Beyond the Sermon side of the Christ Community Church podcast. Today was Local Matter Sunday, so I'm joined by Pastor Wayne. Welcome.
Great to be here.
This is, I always thought it's such a cool Sunday, and we've got a whole month of Local Matters initiatives, but it was such a cool Sunday this morning to be able to hear from two of our partners, Sandy Swanson at Overflow and Marcy Reichen at The Well, to hear about what's going on in and through their organizations, and then even for us as a local church, being able to partner. And you've done a great job just being able to press in with our many local partners that are both religious organizations and mm-hmm. some that aren't, yeah. right? But Wayne, as you've helped us to understand and think about, we have a role to play in our society,
absolutely.
Right? And about doing good things, not just because we have a general sense of good, but because God actually wants to advance within our community, and yeah. part of that is bearing good fruit in working for the common good in our community. So this morning you started the sermon, beautiful illustration about rain. Has anyone given you a rain gauge yet?
They have not. Although I did have an interesting conversation with somebody who said that a few years ago they had a group of five guys who were very intense about their rain gauge engagements and readings, and one of the guys decided he would mess with everybody by pouring a little bit more into each of their rain gauges, sort of mess with their readings. So that's the kind of stuff that happens in the Midwest.
Oh, that is like the most Midwestern prank ever, right? Oh, that's funny.
Pretty awesome.
Well, what's the over under on how many rain gauges you're going to get by the end of the week? Are we going are we over 20 or under 20? What are we taking?
I'm going to go under 20, but three of them will have Iowa State branding on them.
That's probably a good guess.
Yeah.
That's probably a good guess.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, so you talked about rain in this very beautiful way, and it is, right? The scriptures talk to us or tell us about how God sends the rain to make the earth green again. It's mm-hmm. a picture of his faithfulness, but you tied it to a theological position of common grace, right? It is the rain is God's common grace over everyone, whether they love him or don't love him, right? Whether they've embraced him or rejected him, God still sends the rain because God loves us. It's this common grace. Yeah. And then you tied it to the church, right? That the church is to be a common grace within our community. As you think about that, you know, I'd love for you just to tease out that illustration a little bit more and talk about how is the church to be a common grace? What does that mean? What does that look like, especially in our culture moment? Because I thought that was a really beautiful point and illustration that you made there.
Yeah, I think the mechanics for me that a little bit are that it just makes sense that if God's people are dispersed most of the time throughout the community, that God's people are present in the community every moment of every day, everywhere. And so you start to think about the potential impact then of that, and you go, oh my goodness, that is so much more, that's so much bigger than just talking about the impact we might have by, you know, drawing people into our programs, which are great, coming to church, which is amazing. But literally, we got, you know, an hour on Sunday or something on Wednesday night or whatever. Just tally up the hours, right?
Yeah.
And not dismissing those things at all.
No.
But just saying the Spirit of God living in the church corporately and then in believers individually and every moment of every day that they are in the community, you go, okay, this is unbound at this point, right? And so that's where I think the idea of common grace makes sense to me. We're mm-hmm. always present. And so just like the rain, making its mark, doing its thing, I think the expectation is that becoming more like Jesus should look like that in every moment of our day.
Yeah.
I was going to say, too, that I think that the idea of common good and common grace to me are tied together in the sense that when we talk about good as Westerners, like I said this morning, we tend to think in terms of a legal or a moral transgression.
Yeah.
And I think the church has done a good and right job of upholding holiness and saying, absolutely, we've all transgressed morally and ethically and sometimes legally, right, in ways that don't reflect who really God is. But maybe we've kind of just majored on that
mm-hmm.
and the common grace side of it. Maybe we haven't leaned into enough. And it's really a both and at all times, right? It's like James 1 says, you know, pure religion is doing two things. It is caring for widows and orphans mm-hmm. in their distress and in their need. And it's also not being polluted by the world.
Yeah.
So James doesn't leave. I mean, we... depending on which part of that we want to lean in, we usually leave the other side off.
Yeah.
But it's really a both and. And so that's where that common grace, common good side, I think, inspires me, informs me a little bit, and resonates with me.
Yeah. Well, I think even making an Old Testament connection there. So you've got James 1, Ephesians, right? Paul talks about salvation by grace mm-hmm. that results in the good works that were predestined for you in Christ Jesus, right? Like, so it's a theme all through the New Testament. Jesus talks about it in the Sermon on the Mount, a number of other places. But even Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, famously 58, but also chapter 1, the book of Isaiah begins with, hey, Israel, mm-hmm. you're really good at those religious festivals. Mm-hmm. You know what you're not good at? And then Isaiah 58, he comes back again. Hey, Israel, again, the Lord here, through the prophet Isaiah, you're really good at those religious festivals, but do you know what I actually desire? Mm-hmm. Right? Micah 6:8, mm-hmm. right? Yep. I mean, you can point that God desires both the care, the compassion, the outworking of justice,
yep.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Of goodness in that way, of right over wrong in people's lives, and not or.
Yeah, right.
And the spiritual development of those of us, you and me and our neighbors and everyone. It's not an either or.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, you're rightly putting your finger on that in so many church spaces, we like to do one or the other, mm-hmm. or we lean towards one at maybe the expense of the other. And I love that in our statement of faith as the EFCA, it leans right into it.
Yeah,
right. Into both, mm-hmm. right? That we are saved by grace. We are spiritual beings. Mm-hmm. And there is a spiritual world, and we need good sound doctrine, and we need right teaching and mm-hmm. all of these things. Oh, and by the way, mm-hmm. just like Paul said in Ephesians, when you've received the love of God,
yeah.
and you become his child, you are now to live in a new way. And that is it results in the common good,
yeah.
right? And you're transforming your transformative life. And
yeah.
so I just thought that was a great example or a great way to talk about that. Because as Christians, you know, we so often think of grace as only for believers.
Mm-hmm.
But grace was extended to us before we were believers.
Absolutely.
Right? That's the only way we became believers.
Yep.
Was by the grace. Paul says in Romans 1, right? That God has left us without an excuse. Why? Because even the heavens declare his goodness. There's this natural revelation, theologians call it, where special or specific revelation of the scriptures shows us, oh, it's Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
The cosmos declares it.
Yeah.
The Bible teaches us that it's Jesus, right?
Yep.
And so I thought that was good. How do you find yourself? Because I know you wind up in some very interesting meetings.
Yeah.
Yeah. In some places where, again, you get to partner, we as a church get to partner, and you get to be kind of the front man for this mm-hmm. with some great organizations like The Well. Like Overflow that we heard from this morning, many others that are Christian in foundation, Christian in orientation, and hearts to serve everyone. I think Marcy said it this morning from The Well that, you know, they're not shy about Jesus, but they don't require you to love Jesus,
right.
you know? And so we've got organizations that are in that arena, but then you find yourself, and I think it's great. I love that you find yourself in these spaces with people who aren't believers and running organizations in our town that have no religious mm-hmm. Foundation to them. And yet I love that you're there because it shows that the church cares, right? So how do you walk that world for yourself personally, you know, being both in the world but not of the world, working for the common good of our fellow neighbors, but not just simply settling at the material reality of this life because we're spiritual beings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we're figuring that out with this initiative. I think we're figuring that out at every step that we just sort of try and practice and rehearse these things and call ourselves to them. For me personally, I'm figuring that out. I had about 6 months ago on my list coming up for this Local Matters initiative to just think and pray a little bit more through the uncommon news side of the equation that we kind of put out there, right? Because it is fairly easy, honestly, to step into common good.
Yes.
Right? If you're just a decent human being and you want to link arms with people and get some good things done, there's usually not a lot of opposition to that. There's a little bit of surprise when you step into the room as a pastor.
Yeah.
And pretty much everybody there is not. They kind of go, they kind of give you the side eye a little bit, you know?
Uh-huh.
But then they find out that you're there to work alongside them and to link arms in what we can link arms in with, right? There's always a Venn diagram side of this where you can go, there's absolutely something that we can partner with. And then there's some things that we're just going to be honest with each other and just say, hey, we're adults. We care about each other. We care about our community. There's some ways that we would probably do some of these things differently.
Yep.
But for me, I want to try and figure out more of what this uncommon news side of it looks like in practice, right?
Mm.
It's fairly easy, to step into the good works. It's reasonably easy to step into conversations and see where they might lead. Is there a way that we might initiate a little bit more in that? Mm-hmm. I think so, probably. I'm just not quite sure what that looks like yet, but I'm excited that, you know, as the years go by, we might figure that out a little bit more.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is kind of fun to step into the room and have people kind of go, what's the church guy doing here? You know, and then you get to know people and they're great. And, you know, so I think it's definitely an ongoing process for me and I think for our initiative as well.
Yeah. I so love just even the tone of your answer there of wrestling through the tension, right? Because I think for so long, you know, I grew up in the evangelical world, and for so long in the American church landscape, it was, we're willing to help you on our turf, on our terms.
Right. Yeah.
And I think one of the things that I've seen you step into is a willingness to go, no, we want to help on your turf.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And we're going to figure out the terms. You know,
right.
but we're not going to come in and demand that you come to our thing and do it our way and think our way first, mm-hmm. when we can step in and go, let's build a bridge. Let's build a relationship. And you've really modeled that well for our staff team, and you're modeling that well for our people, and our partners are modeling that well, right? Where we can go, let's build relationship. And let's build relational equity, because the church, by and large, in the American landscape, and even in Ames, it's not seen as it's not seen as positively as it had been
a net positive,
right? You know, and a way of the way we often talk about it is that we're always at the away field right now, right? We're not on home field advantage anymore, and so there's a length of relational equity that has to be built that we kind of assumed previously, right?
Yeah, I think we're going to have to weave our way back into the fabric of our community, and figure out ways to do that while maintaining that purposefulness that it talked about in Colossians this morning, right? You know, that making the most of every opportunity, but not letting making the most of every opportunity become something that feels like where people feel like they're a project, right? You know, so that relational equity is absolutely huge, and just trying to figure out how to be, you know, honestly decent humans with each other and start from there is a lot of that, I think. But I think we're going to have to weave our way back in. And I would hope that at some point we could go, wow, it's fairly natural for us to experience people looking at the church broadly as a significant part of the fabric of our community.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Which it used to be, you know, 1500 years ago, probably, more or less, in some ways, but, now not so much.
Yeah. And I think even on that, right, of as we step into those spaces, we have a greater opportunity now for gospel clarity than I think we've had in generations, right? Because the gospel is so distinct compared to every other way of living. Right. When that sort of assumed knowledge is no longer there, when you see the gospel in word and deed, right? When you hear it in word and see it in deed, truly, it's profoundly different.
Yeah.
Right. But if we're not there, if we're not engaging in those spaces,
right,
then how, you know, how are they going to hear? Paul said something about that in Romans, right?
How
beautiful are the one, you know, the messenger, feet of the messenger, right? And so so we want to live out the gospel. We want to proclaim it both in word and deed. I loved this morning how Marcy and and
Sandy.
Sandy, thank you. I was like, it's like Swanson.
Yeah. Somebody this morning said, I call her Nancy because that just sounded right.
There you go. There you go.
Sandy, yeah.
But Marcy and Sandy both talked about treating their clients with dignity.
Yeah, right.
And that I loved Sandy specifically talked about how the with the gift cards and allowing people to come and shop, there's autonomy, there's agency, right? I think that even again embodies that reality of we're not going to demand on our turf, on our terms. We're going to see you in your need and we want to help meet your need, but we want to help meet your need in a way that extends dignity.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
And so I thought that was really cool in your experience and with other partners and just even processing how we as the church, because you touched on it before. So often when we think of being the church, we think of buildings, bylaws, budgets.
Yeah.
But when we talk about the church, we're talking about people.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
The indwelling of God's Spirit in God's people.
Yeah.
We don't cease to be the church as we go. How do you see that aspect of dignity? Extending dignity. You know, you said just being good human beings, right? To one
right,
decent human beings to one another. What have you learned in your journey so far, in your role and in your work and in your relationships in this phase of your life, ministry?
Yeah, for me personally, this has been a bit of a challenge too that I feel like is coming to the surface for me. And it is growing in God's compassion.
Yeah,
as he views people where they're at, right? I don't think that I'm too much of a crusty old guy, but a big part of my
Think you are either.
Yeah, a big part of my work and interactions, I'm just going to be super honest here, is because I know that it's God's heart.
Yeah,
and I want it to be more of mine.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
and so there is a part of me that naturally wants to step in into people's heart spaces. And there is a part of me that definitely does not.
Yeah.
And so, but I have to keep reminding myself in all of these things. And I guess it's good that I'm, you know, in part helping lead this initiative because it challenges me personally.
Mm.
I know it's God's heart, so I want it to be more of mine.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I just love your honesty there. And I think part of it is recognizing how each of us are wired, right? You know, I've heard it talked about this way. We've talked about it this way of everybody has a truth lens and a compassion lens. Mm-hmm. For each of us, one of those lens, it's primary, right? You know, so I've given the example, you know, for me, it's the truth lens. It's the truth lens that is primary. For my wife, it's the compassion lens that is primary. And we both have areas to grow, you know? And so I just love your extending yourself here honestly and just sharing like, hey, there's a part of me that, yes, I'm inclined to this. There's the other part of me that's not inclined to this, but I know that it's God's heart. And so I want to grow in that, right? And I want to press into that. I'm not just going to reject it because it's a little uncomfortable, you know? So what have you found that have been, vehicles to help you press in that way, right? In growth.
I love, again, how the Colossians passage that we went through today starts with, 1:9-14. But then Paul closes his letter with those, you know, final, hey, remember this type of stuff. And he paints the inside out life.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that to me is the key that I want to keep going back to. The more that I am drawing near to God, the more that I am going deeper with him, it should send me further out, right?
Yeah.
And so I want that dynamic to happen in my life. I've talked about this at times like a slingshot.
Yeah.
Right? You pull further back on the slingshot, what you've got, the load goes out further, right? And you repeat the process. So I think there's this dynamic that you see in especially the 4, 2-6, I think it was, part of the text that we were in today, where it's, you know, pray, be thankful, and be wise as you go about your regular daily life and the things that God is calling you into. And so I just go, man, it's both. And I want to grow in those ways. So I think it would be easy to just try and do a bunch of things. But I think that being sustained in that over time and being mindful and being who I should be in Christ in that would be more difficult if I wasn't drawing nearer to God, you know, in devotional practices and in community and all those great things that, and, you know, Pastor Brent obviously is trying to help us grow into, right? So I think there's a direct correlation there between those. So that would be, you know, sort of the path that I'm on there.
I love that, right? And I think even as you leaned into Colossians here this morning, and you uncovered a little bit of the heresy that was in Colossians or in Colossae, the wrong teaching, and it's you know, it's that they thought Jesus was a good place to start, but there's something greater where you get the you know, or Paul says no, there is no one greater in time or rank. He is preeminent. Christ is preeminent over everything. And so, and even as you mentioned about Gnosticism, some of those early expressions of Gnosticism of either resulting in strong legalism, right? We obey the rules and all of this rigidity, right? And then, or license, right? I get to now do with my body whatever I want. And Paul goes no to both,
right?
Just as you talked about, it's that inside out life. The more that we draw near to God in relationship with other believers, and studying the scriptures, in a prayer life, right? I think even the discipline of thankfulness, right?
As
you talk about, you know, pray, be thankful, be wise. Man, when we cultivate thankfulness, not just as random generosity, right? Not just as positive vibes out into the internet or the universe.
Well,
there.
Both,
both the internet and the universe. There, it's not just this positive mental attitude. It is the reality that the God of the universe sees us and supplies our everyday needs. And so, I'm going to be thankful that this God sees me, knows me, and loves me. Man, that changes my outlook on so many things, and it helps me to resist legalism, right? That's that truth lens.
Yeah.
That strong truth lens, just do what's right. Or often on the compassion side of things, which can lead to the other rut that the church in Colossae was tempted there to. And that's license. And you just go, well, just do whatever. You know, we just want to make people feel good about themselves. And I loved in that you sharpened even the idea of goodness for us this morning, of that Hebrew concept of shalom, of peace. It's actually wholeness.
Yep.
And and you know, Marcy talked about it a little bit there as well with stability in every area of our lives.
Right.
And so, all right, it's not just it's when we talk about common good, it's not just, we want to meet people's material needs. We want their whole lives, right? The common good is to see the whole person, spiritual and physical, there. And so we want to press in for that, you know, so that we experience the true goodness of who God is and what he desires for us in human flourishing. And so, you mentioned the poverty training that the Well does today. So that you shared briefly about it, and you've gone through it?
Gone through it like three times.
Okay.
Once when I, when the Well was first staking out aims and areas as a potential landing place. There were a group of us that were invited down to Pella, where it started, and we got that training there and got to go through all their facilities and meet their staff. And then I think one other time while they were deciding whether they're actually going to land here. And then we hosted one here at church as well on an afternoon, maybe 6 to 9 months ago or so. And I've learned something significant every single time.
Mm.
And it's just the broad view of all the ways that honestly our lives could go from order to chaos, if you think of it that way, right? And for a lot of the people that, if we're going to talk about people who are especially vulnerable in our community, there are a number of rocks that could move and create an avalanche, right? And it doesn't take much to move any one of those rocks, and then it all falls apart. That's because that wheel that Marcy showed, there's multiple areas that have weakness. And instead, order, wholeness, stability, integration, all those ideas, that really comes out in this poverty training. And it's quite eye-opening, and it's really, really helpful. It's a great conversation.
I love that. Just even those kind of resources, right, as we want to grow in being people of truth and people of compassion, people who yearn to do the common good and share the uncommonly good or uncommon news, right, of the gospel, that there's this God that loves us and we were set apart from him and he sent his son to save us, right, and fill us with abundant life, right? We want to be about common good and share uncommon news. And so that's the heart of the local matters, right, is stretching us and giving us these invitations as a church body into this. So just give us, again, a flyover. What are some of the opportunities opportunities that we can press in as individuals with our connect groups, with our small groups, with our families over this next month.
Yeah, you bet. I think the first thing that I would remind folks is sort of where we landed before we got to all the action steps today, and that is just the reality that the change of mindset around Christ's exaltedness that comes from that Colossians passage and what that means in terms of our transformation is the starting point, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And again, that's that film room view, right?
Yes,
you know,
yeah.
Where
old Coach Kleitch.
Yeah, where Stuart clearly was not doing his thing. So, so I think that's the big deal. So
yeah.
Then people can feel like, again, this is just a list of things to jump into,
yeah.
But it's not. What we really are praying for is that over time, as we do this twice a year, that it just becomes more of who we are.
Yeah,
right.
It's formational in that way, right?
But the specific opportunities that are—they're kind of like practice.
Yeah,
right. They're opportunities to practice this in some ways and make an impact at the same time. So housewarming—we do that in the spring and in the fall, and again, generally that is providing goods and donated items and usually cards, gift cards, mm-hmm. for folks who are connected to any of our partner agencies. And so that will look like Wings of Refuge, Martha's House of Hope, all those great folks. There's a dozen or more that we work with.
Yeah.
And that all gets organized in that 4 weeks. And then there are deliveries and there's ongoing relationships that happen through that, which is fantastic. So real felt needs, but relationships as well. Second item that was on the list was the You Matter Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And that's coming up as well on the 25th of May, I believe, because that's Naomi's birthday.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah. And that's going to be fun at Moore Memorial Park. It'll be great. The foster families in our area will get photo sessions from professional photographers, and then we'll do a bunch of other fun stuff too. Third one was Stash the Trash, maybe.
Yeah.
And that's fun because we're actually partnering with local government.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
It's just not a church thing, right? It's just, hey, let's clean up. Let's be responsible for the space in this creation that God's given us. And, you know, a part of me is, again, I'll be totally honest, right? I'm not excited about going and picking up trash.
Yeah.
But I know it's God's heart to take care of, you know, where we live.
It's almost like we've been called to steward the resource that we've been given.
I know.
In physical creation.
But it's sort of like for me too, when a big snow happens and I look at it and go, I did not make that mess. Why do I have to clean it up? Right. You know, so for some of us, you're probably feeling that as well. Look, we can all pitch in a little bit. And again, like I said, it's super cool because the city is funding all of this.
Yeah.
So they give you the cleanup materials and everything that you need, and they organize it and put it in groups. I think it would be so fun if I heard back from the Stash the Trash people and they were like, you sent us a bunch of people and they did a really great job. That would be really cool. This is the first time we've done it. So who knows, you know, if this will land or not, but we're going to
give it a
shot.
What are all those church people doing here?
I know, exactly. Yeah. And maybe we'll wear the Local Matters shirts.
There you go.
You know?
There you go.
Yeah. Plus they have the cutest little logo, right?
With the little
trash panda, right? So, so that's all good. And then there, I don't want to forget anything here, but there's, you know, Discipleship 301, which is super important because you get to find out your spiritual gifting and kind of your personality bent and whether you're kind of an inside the church passion or outside the church passion person. And then there's specific ways that the website sort of takes those factors and then shows you some things that might match. Rest Assured is the bed project for international students, which is so practical.
Yeah.
It's just an easy way to go, wow, we love you and we're glad you're here, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Boy, I'm sure that I'm forgetting something.
I think the other one was just Caring Fund.
Caring Fund.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was. I think that's the one there. Yeah, Caring Fund, just giving to help meet the rent and utility needs of...
Listening session number two.
And listening session number two is next Sunday.
Next Sunday at 10:45 in G2 with another 5 to 7 partners. And that'll be another great just sort of learning and then figuring out connections with them and next steps as well.
Yeah, yeah. I think the important part here is just being a people who take an intentional next step, right? Being purposely responsive, that is seeking and seizing the opportunities God puts us in front of us each and every day, right? For His glory. And so so getting to step into some of these opportunities. I think that's, we're looking at the questions that came in. Those are really all the questions that have come in of just how can I get involved? Where can I get involved? How do I get connected with these partners? And so when we think about that, just those You know, we heard from Sandy Swanson at Overflow this morning. We heard from Marcy Reichen at The Well. Next Sunday at 10:45 in Gather 2, like you said, we'll have 5 to 7 more partners that we'll get to hear from in the second listening session. How can we get involved? What are the areas of greatest need, right? How do we figure out what our next step is?
Yeah, I think the easiest thing is just to go to the landing page that we've created that has all of this on it for Local Matters, and that is just simply ccaims.org/localmatters.
Okay.
If you go there on our website, then there will be a replay of the teaching from this morning,
yeah.
So you can kind of refresh some of those concepts if you'd like and see the interviews from Marcy and Sandy, and maybe some people missed that this morning, and they'll get to view that. And then there are links to all of the action steps that we have. And then there are some of the opportunities from the Discipleship 301 website as well there. People can get a hold of me, wstewart@ccaims.org. Yeah, we'd love you to just figure out one thing and step into it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Wayne, thanks so much for leading us this morning, encouraging us this morning, getting some partners in front of us this morning, and reminding us that our zip codes aren't accidental, right? God has given us these incarnational coordinates of the places that we live. God has put us in this time to bear witness, right? To bear witness of the love and the joy of Christ, where we live out the gospel in word and deed. So church, let's jump in. Let's be purposely responsive. Let's be intentional with our next steps on how we can join the Lord in serving our community through Local Matters here over the course of this next month. And we'll join in worship again next Sunday as we gather together to be encouraged, to be sharpened, to be spurred on, and ultimately to be sent back out into the places that God has for us during the week. So we'll see you next Sunday, and can't wait to hear your stories about your Local Matters engagements.